God's taken me to a place where I haven't actually come down. And I've been sharing with the music team. And we nearly started a private church inside the studio. But it's the word is for the church. And it has to be released to the church. Amen? Hallelujah. We must know the pattern of what God is doing. I'm starting to see clearly why this church has become a church. I believe that Pastor Bill was a vessel to set up this church. He was the vessel. You must remember that all of you sitting around here tonight or this evening, you're like John the Baptist. You're here to prepare the way for something. That's all. Your life is here to prepare for something. And my life is just like the same as what your life is. But we don't just prepare, but we transform and walk inside what God has already given us. We are not a people of hanging around waiting to go to heaven. I want you to know that. If you come to this church, you will have a mindset transformation. I can guarantee that, because that's what I am here to do. God says, prepare the church and change the mindset of the people. Hallelujah. We have been brainwashed. We have been taught wrongly by doctrines. You've come out of all sorts of different doctrines, but you have not heard about the kingdom of God. That's the difference. There's so many doctrines created by man. There's so many denominations created by man. Nobody wants to talk about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Kingdom of God doesn't talk about anything else except the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has been given a manual to live by, and that is this book you call the Bible. Hallelujah. I had an amazing transformation in my own life, in my own spirit. I discover the kingdom which transformed my life forever. And it was laying dormant all these years, because I know that it wasn't the time to release those kind of things in the church. Because if you have been trained by churches and trained by religion, it takes a while for you to truly understand what I have actually understood. It's an amazing transformation for myself. It set me free from people, set me free from anybody that can claim to be somebody, set me free from everybody, set me free from people's opinion about me, set me free from churches, set me free from religion, set me free from anybody that wants to come and say, you are this, you are that, because my Bible tells me differently. I have a God and I have a Holy Spirit that teaches me and trains me to be who I am in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. As I was preparing this message, I went to PNG last week, and I want to share this with you guys because I want to talk about the prophecy that I've received in this church. For the church, but for me personally. And most of you have not heard this prophecy, and I know God doesn't want me to share it with you, because God wants me to share my prophecy with those who are with me. Because if you're just a person that's coming to church just to be in a church, I can't tell you this prophecy, because you won't be able to fathom it. You won't be able to understand it. You won't be able to, it may be insignificant to you, but nothing that happens in my life in God is insignificant. Nothing that happens in your life in God is insignificant. You must understand that. People may think that, oh, he's just a nice neighbor. You're not. You're carrying something inside of you. Hallelujah. There's a dangerous person called the Holy Spirit to the devil living inside of you. Hallelujah. And as I was preparing this message, God gave me some of the things that I was preparing, and it all aligned with the prophecy that I got. I have never seen or heard a prophecy spoken into my life that is so accurate. Are you listening? Accurate, and I mean accurate. And not only just accurate, but fast. God is moving faster. I said last Sunday, God is moving faster than you and I think. And I didn't know what I said until I went to PNG. I received a prophecy when I took the church, because I said to God, God, I don't want this job. And God says, because you didn't ask for the job, then you are the perfect candidate for this job. Why? Because you're not after position. You're not after to become somebody that people will follow. Because people will follow me, God says. Not me, God. And when I said that I am not capable of running a church, he said, good. That's what I did to Moses. I'm going to do with you. Same thing. All you have to do is just say you don't know how to do it, and I will do it. Hallelujah. That's you must understand your God. You must understand your God. Your God doesn't think the same way you think. Hallelujah. Your God doesn't think the same way your priest or your pastor or your Bible college teacher think. Listen to me very carefully. Your God doesn't think like that. God thinks highly of you. His thoughts about you is so high. He says, I know the good things that I think about you. Hallelujah. Things to prosper you. Things to bless you. Hallelujah. That's God's promise to you. And so when I was preparing, God took me to PNG and I thought I actually went to do business. I'll tell you why I didn't want to take this job. Because I started a business to fund the kingdom. I said to Pastor Bill, I'm going to go and start a business so that we don't have to car wash anymore. We don't have to beg anymore. We don't have to beg God for money. God will provide everything through the gifts that you and I already have. What is in your hands this morning? And so I went to build this company up and registered everything. And then I was 1 year, 6 months into to starting our production. And God says, you have to go back and take the church. And I questioned God. I said, what? You just gave me all these investors and these people and all these doors are opening for me. And now you're telling me to go and look after the church? I struggled with God. With this. I said, no. And the board will tell you. They asked me, are you going to be the pastor? I said, mm-mm. Don't look at me. I don't want to be the pastor. Why? I don't want your problems. I got enough of my own to take care of. I don't want to carry yours. That's really what I didn't want to be involved in. I saw what Pastor Bill was doing and I said, mm-mm. I don't want that. That's too much for me. But God said, that's it. Your yoke is too heavy. You take mine. And when I realized that I have to give him my yoke and take his yoke, because his yoke is lighter, and I could carry a very light yoke right now. I'm walking very light. I could float if you don't be careful. Something has to hold me down. You got to put an anchor to keep me down because I can just take off. Hallelujah. And that's what happened last Sunday. I'm just giving you a little bit of history behind what is happening. And so the prophecy came, and I have heard prophecies in my life for the last 25 years as a Christian. I have not heard anything that is so accurate and so fast. It's happening really fast. And I shared it with only those that are with me. I don't know you with me yet until you come and tell me that you're with me. Amen. Amen. I don't tell my vision and my heart to nobody who's not drinking with one hand on the sword and one hand up in the water. If you're a person that dives in and drinks without even looking, sorry, I won't tell you this reason why I've got this vision or this prophecy. I'm serious. I'm very serious because why? I'm serious about this church. I am not here for you to follow me. I'm not here for this. I'm here to prepare the church for something greater than you and I can ever think of. Hallelujah. And so this prophecy came to me, and I went to PNG last week, and this man of God walked up to me and prophesied. And he prophesied everything that was prophesied to me by another man of God. And they've never met. And they live in a different province. They have never done things together. This man spoke, and he didn't know the prophecy in my life. And you know, when he's finished, I felt like something had just hit me. And I looked at him and I said, Pastor, you don't know what you just released in my life. God confirmed the prophecy again, twice. Accurate, same, and fast. Hallelujah. And I said to the music team and anybody else here this morning, if you get a prophecy from God, it better align with my prophecy. If there's a prophecy that you have, that God's speaking to you, it better align with the prophecy of the church. It better align with the vision of this church. Hallelujah. Because prophecies are dangerous. They can split a church. I've seen it split churches. I've seen it destroy people's lives because people go blubbering all over prophecies without really hearing from God. And so be careful what you prophesy upon people. Because God is not a God of division. You must remember that. If God wants something to happen in your life, He will confirm it with people that are walking in integrity. They will come and speak into your life and say, yep, yep. And so I received that and I came back and I was so on fire for God. Something had to pull me down from where I was. I had to come back down and touch the ground because I was carrying that inside of me. I may look normal to you, talk normal to you, and have fun and drink coffee and tea. I'm bubbling inside, I'm telling you. There's something happening inside of me that you can't see. Hallelujah. That's why I'm here. When I'm here, I'm releasing it. I have to release it. And by next year, we are not going to be the same church. I can guarantee you that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is doing something. I know He's doing something. Why? Because He's doing something in my own life. And I want you to know that we are not just another nice church. Please understand me. I want everybody sitting in this room to understand we are not here just another church. There's too many just another church already that you can go to. But this church, there's a different calling upon it. There's a different DNA upon it. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when I was getting ready to come back, I got excited. And I on the boat yesterday, I was reading a scripture. But I just wanted to share with you guys this morning that you talk about revival. But you must understand one thing, that revival doesn't start when you are looking around for it. The move of God, the prophecy upon my life is that when the move of God starts, the enemy will find it hard to predict it. Because it's not going to happen in a place where he can claim ownership of it. That's really what happens when revival happens. People go, we prayed and fasted 7 days and the COC, and that's ours. We are the CCC and that's our revival. We started this one. Men claim revival. Men claim everything that God started. And that's why God says, really? So he pulls it away, pulls the rug under your feet. But this revival that's coming, this move that's coming, oh, I'm telling you, this move that's coming, the enemy won't predict it. You know why the enemy predicts everything that the church do today? That enemy knows that what the church programs are. The enemy knows what the church is doing. So everybody's doing the same thing. The enemy says, I know what they're going to do. I know when they're going to collect tithes and offerings. I'm going to just go in there and mess things up a little bit so they won't give. Enemy knows how the church operates. The devil knows. And so you and I must become a SEAL team of God. Those guys that operate in shadows. Enemy doesn't know what happens. And before you know it, boom, something happens. Go, oh, well, what happened there? Because God is moving. The move of God doesn't happen when you see a cloud moving or some kind of thunder and lightning. The move of God happens where? Inside your heart. Inside your heart. The enemy won't. You know, the move of God is already happening inside of me. I may look normal to you, but inside of me, oh, hallelujah, something is happening that's not normal. I may sit down and drink coffee with you and look like a normal band hacker. Inside of me, there's a revival happening already. And that's the revival I'm going to release it to you today. You must understand that it doesn't start when you look, oh, there. No, it doesn't come like that. It comes inside your heart. Hallelujah. I want to read a scripture to you. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah 66, verse 1. By the way, this is not my message. I'm just introducing something that God showed me. The Bible says in Isaiah 66, verse 1, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me, God says? And where is the place of my rest? God doesn't need a building to come and rest inside. God rests inside your heart. He says, where is the house that you have prepared for me? Where is that house? I want to see that house. Is it ready for me to come and dwell inside? He's not talking about a building, my friends. He's talking about your life. You, the saucepan that carries the presence of God inside of you. He's talking about that vessel, earthen vessel that carries the Holy Spirit. He's asking you, where is the house that you have prepared for me? Hallelujah. And for all those things, verse 2, my hand has made and all these things exist, says the Lord. But on this one, he says, hallelujah. He says, on this one will I look unto him who is what? Poor and of a contrite heart spirit and who trembles at my word. God is looking for righteous people. God is looking for people whose hearts contrite and poor and ready to receive him. God is looking for people who are hungry and ready. If you're hungry for God and ready for God, revival is going to happen in your life this morning. I promise you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is showing me something. It is not going to happen when you fast and pray and fast for 21 days. Somebody has already paid the price for that. Hallelujah. It's going to come and it's going to start inside your life. There's been revivals happening already. There's a chemistry for it happening already. But God says, I'm looking for what? The person that is what? Contrite in the spirit and poor and ready and fear of God's word. It's talking about righteousness. He's talking about walking in holiness. He's talking about keeping our hearts in the place where He can come and dwell. God is not going to move anywhere else. He's moving inside you. You are the vessel that carries the revival. It starts inside your heart. That's why the Holy Spirit can predict it. People look at me and go, oh, that band is really nice. I'm not nice. Inside of me, something is happening. Something is happening inside of me that you don't see before, that you can't even predict. I guarantee you didn't know what's happening inside my heart. Until I open my mouth to speak. That's the kind of revival Jesus is talking about. He says, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Friends, he's talking about preparing your hearts for him to come. He says, where's that house? He's looking for that house that I can come and dwell inside. Revival doesn't happen. People say, revival, listen to me, Papua New Guinea and my families. People say, it's coming from the north. It's coming from the north. You are from the north and you're already inside here. Amen. And you carry the presence of God inside of you. All you need to do is a fire coming down, lighting you up here. It's already here, church. The revival is already inside your heart. Start to get it going. What is happening inside our church? I don't know what's happening. But God Himself is doing something. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 66 verse 7 it says, this is a powerful, powerful revelation. I'll start from verse 6. The sound of the noise from the city, a voice from the temple, and a voice of the Lord who will fully repay His enemies. Verse 7 says, before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child who has had such thing, who has had such thing, who has seen such things. Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Hallelujah. This revival, when it comes, you are not going to pray and fast for it, I'm telling you. God is going to bypass how a woman gets pregnant with a baby and how she feels the pain to deliver. Even Bible says, even before she feels the pain, the baby's standing there saying, what are you waiting for? You are asking for revival. In revival saying, what are you waiting for? That's what the Bible says. Shall God bypass all the normal structures of church? We think that we must go and fast and pray and do all these things and then the revival will come. God's looking for those who are prepared inside the heart. Amen. If you're ready, He says, good, I'm going to use you. Because there's no time to be wasting now. We're living in a time that God is coming back. We are like John the Baptist, preparing the way for the coming of the King. He's not coming back as a Savior. He's coming back as a King. Hallelujah. To rule and reign on earth. So take this mentality of escape from your head and start to operate in the kingdom of God while you still got breath inside of you. When you're still feeling pain for pregnancy, baby's here. Ah, I'm supposed to go in labor. Mm-mm. God says, no, it's not going to happen like that anymore. I'm going to operate differently from how you think. That's how we churches like to say, oh, we got to do this and do that. God says, I'm looking for hearts. You can go and pray and fast. I'm just looking for hearts. Are you ready? Church, are you ready? Hallelujah. And that is my introduction of what God's been placing inside my heart. My message this morning is time for a mindset change. Time to change your mindset. Time to get out of this old system that you've come from. God is going to transform everything so quick. I'm seeing it in my own life through the forest. I'm thinking, God, this is too fast. I said, yeah. He said, yes, I just need you to be ready. That's all. I don't want you to go and study in a Bible college and get a degree in theology. There are those that go and study God and don't follow God anyway. So why are you trying to do that? Just be ready with your heart. Oh, hallelujah. If God can transform me, my goodness, you are in trouble. You are sitting here this morning, are in trouble. You are in trouble with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He's shown you that it can be done. We think we have to go and study and theology and get this degree and this master's and all that. I don't condone those things. That's great. You want to do it? Do it. But I didn't come that way. God showed me that way. He showed me this way. Are you listening to me this morning? It is good for you to understand that. Hallelujah. Jesus is a fulfillment of prophecy. That's why nothing can stop Christ when He came. His life from birth to death was already prophesied. Whatever you do in between doesn't worry Him. He says, I was born to die. That was why when He was talking to Pilate, He says, Pilate, my kingdom is a different kingdom, He says. If I send word up to my father, my military commander is going to send down legions of angels to take you out. So my life has already been prophesied. Just shut up and go. Take me to the cross. Kill me. Let me get my work done. I am prophesied to come and die. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's my life. And so your life is a prophecy from God. Jeremiah 1:5 says, you have not been just born. He says, I knew you before you were born. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I have already preordained your life. How do you find that? You go to the Word of God. And you stay in where God wants you to be.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus never came to bring us religion. And you keep hearing me all this time. I am here to transform and break the mindset inside your life right now. God didn't send us religion. He sent us Jesus Christ. He is a revolutionist. He came to create a revolution. That's the revolution that has died because man started to build little denominations and little doctrines and start to control people. Jesus came as a revolutionist. He never came to start a religion. That's why, you know, I discovered that in 95, 96, and it was burning inside of me. I said, I don't want to release that because people won't understand. Hallelujah. Jesus was no religious man. He came to create controversy and He came to start a revolution. He was a revolutionist. Hallelujah. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine and he said to me, you know, Ben, I'm not a religious person. I said, really? What would you believe? I am not a religious person too. And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? He was so confused. He looked at me. He said, I'm not a religious person. I just follow Christ. I follow Jesus Christ. I'm not a Christian. I just follow Christ.
Amen.
I'm a revolutionist. I'm not a religious person. Hallelujah. And he was sitting there looking at me. And he doesn't go to church. So that really messed him up big time. He's saying, what? He didn't say anything anymore, and that became really comfortable. Now we can say, okay, I'm not religious, you're not religious, we're fine, we can work together.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you know about the kingdom of God, I'll tell you about the kingdom of God. The very goal of God sending Jesus Christ was very simple, if you got your Bibles, and that was to what? Number one, reintroduce the kingdom of God on earth and to do it through what? Mankind. God reintroduced. If you see the prefixes before the word introduce, he had to go back. When you see something called RE or RE, it means you go back to where you started. God reintroduced the kingdom of God on earth, and to do it, he had to do it through mankind. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 says, from the time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is at hand. Number two, he came to restore righteousness and holiness of mankind back to earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For our sake, he made him into be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He came to bring back righteousness into mankind.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Righteousness doesn't mean wearing long gowns and big cross and turbans and look religious. That's not righteousness. The Hebrew translation for the word righteousness means to be what? Realigned properly with authority. Aligning yourself back with God, whom you've walked away from. That's righteousness. Not wearing a big turban, putting a cross on your head and wearing shirts back to front and collar back to front and call yourself righteous. That's not righteous. Hallelujah. So Jesus came to put us back in the right relationship or position with the authority of God's kingdom so that we may obtain and maintain and enjoy the privileges of God's rulership in our lives. Think about people. You are a ruler by right. By right, you're a ruler. That's why you fight it when people want to rule over you. There's a spirit of rulership inside of you. It started when you were little kids. Put that away. No! Don't do that. No! That spirit of rulership already happening inside your life. If you've got kids, you'll understand. Why are you doing that? Sit down. They stand up. Stand up. They sit down. Everything is the opposite. They don't want you to be ruling their lives. That's the spirit of rulership inside of you, my friends. It started when you were little. Hallelujah. Holiness means purity. It means pure in motive. I think I've shared this before. So holiness means that there is no schizophrenic spirit inside of you. What you say and what you do are the same. There are no ulterior motives in your life. When you see, what you see is exactly what you see. Amen. There's no other motives in your life. No. That's what holiness is. Hallelujah. That's why God says, I have placed my word above myself. Isaiah 138 verse 2. He says, I have placed my word above myself. I am God, the omnipotent God. But my word, he says, it's above me. That's why I am one with my word. Hallelujah. There's no other motives in God. That's the spirit he gave you. To be one with your word. To be one with everything that you say. Holy means to be pure from the inside out or the outside in, wherever it is. It has to be the same. Hallelujah. What you say is what you leave, and what you leave is what you say. Number three, he came to what? Restore the Holy Spirit back to man. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Which of you fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Verse 12. Or if he ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Verse 13, if you then thought you are evil and now to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What we did this morning may look insignificant to people, but I released something into the lives of your children this morning, which I believe is going to transform them from that age onwards. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit is the key to the kingdom. He is the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you and I cannot do anything. A church without the Holy Spirit is a dead church. Let me just say that again, in case this mic didn't work. A church without the Holy Spirit is a dead church. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that God sent. And if you shut your door to the Holy Spirit, then you're operating without him, then this is not a church or the kingdom that God was talking about. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit is here. I said last week, Calvary and cross is a means to an end to bring us into the kingdom. Amen. The cross did its work. Calvary did its work. The blood did its work. Everything has done its work for you and I to be moved back inside the kingdom, to realign ourselves with the authority of God. That's really what it is. You don't have to go back there and look at it every Sunday. You carry it inside of you. Amen. If you're a man of God and a woman of God, cross has to be in your heart. Amen. Calvary has to be in your heart. Amen. The blood has already done its work upon you. Hallelujah. Now live like kingdom people. That's really what it is. Hallelujah. Calvary is the mechanism that God used to cleanse you and I, to make us holy before the Holy Spirit comes. I'm talking about him this morning, and he's going to do something in your life. Hallelujah. Because sin is our problem, and there is no eradication of sin without the blood. The Bible says with the blood there is no remission of sin. Calvary was to provide the atoning work and the blood work so that God would forgive your sins and my sins, not ignore them or forgive them or forget them. God does not ignore sins. It deals with it. You can sin. He does not ignore it. But the moment you turn out to God, he deals with it. Hallelujah. We used to have him, now we've lost him, and we've got him back through the cross, the Calvary, and the blood. We got the Holy Spirit back. Hallelujah. He's living inside of you. He's here today. Hallelujah. We used to have him. We lost him, and we have him again. The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, joy in what? In the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When you carry the Holy Ghost inside of you, you are carrying the kingdom with you. Joy, peace is inside of you. Hallelujah. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the kingdom. Oh, let me just say that again. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have the kingdom. Why? Because you're trying to do things on your own strength. You're trying to become righteous, but you're doing it with your own strength. See, you've worshipped your will now. You're worshipping your willpower that God gave you. God says, I gave you the will to choose from right or wrong, but don't worship it. I've given you the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to teach you and guide you. Holy Spirit doesn't preach. He teaches you. He's a teacher. And so if he teaches you, then you are able to understand the kingdom better than any other person that doesn't carry the Holy Spirit inside of him. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you to receive him today. Hallelujah. Don't sit there and go, oh, I'm okay. You're not. You don't operate and understand what I'm bringing unless you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Very important. Very important. Hallelujah. Any religion without the Holy Ghost is not the kingdom. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no contact with the kingdom of God. He is our kingdom contact between the visible realm and the invisible heaven that we talked about, both worlds that we live in. He is the one. That is why the first person you receive is the what? The Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot what? Enter into the kingdom of God. We have to be born in the Spirit to enter into his kingdom. That's fundamental, my friends. That's the foundation of the kingdom. Before anything could happen, the Holy Spirit has to come back. Live inside the vessel that God was talking about in Isaiah. Where is the house I'm looking for? Where is the house that I can come and dwell in? Hallelujah. In number four, he came to retrain mankind to think God. Hallelujah. John chapter 16, verse 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will what? Guide you into all the truth. The word guide means to teach. He teaches you in all truths. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he is and what he will tell you what is yet to come. He's the one that does everything for you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is not a preacher, like I said. He's a teacher. To teach means to instruct for change. When you're a teacher in a classroom, you don't preach to your student. You teach them to change their mindset. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us. Sometimes I preach, sometimes I teach. It's just in me. It just comes out. Why? Because somebody taught me. I sat under somebody's ministry, and I understand. And now I'm just releasing it to you. And I discovered kingdom 20 years ago. And it was bubbling inside of me. Hallelujah. That's why when I came here, I thought, these people are asleep here when I came to this country. What's happening? And it's just me. When you're a teacher in a classroom, you're not preaching, you're teaching. You're not trying to announce things to the student. You teach them. Jesus was a good teacher and a good preacher. He was preaching to the multitudes, and then he was teaching his students. He'll preach to the multitudes, and then he'll teach his students. All he wants to do is change their mindset. He said, I don't have to change 10,000 people, just change 12 people. Mindset change. Boom. Now I can go. 3.5 years later. When Peter stood up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter said, Jesus said, great, Peter. I was worried that my classroom teaching wasn't going to work, but it worked. You understand. Now I can go. Hallelujah. Jesus was just looking for that. What you want to do is to transfer your information to them so that it can become their information, so that the same change that it brings you can be a change for them as well. This changed me. Transform me. Nothing concerns me anymore except this. I'm zealous for this. It's good for me. Hallelujah. Why do we need training? Because if you have been a slave for 400 years like the Israelites were, it's tough to think like kingdom people when you're in a slavery for 400 years. Hallelujah. We as human beings, based on biblical chronology, have been slaves for 6,000 years. So the earth is not 40,000 years like they tell you. Don't believe all that rubbish. If you're an indigenous person, seek the kingdom. The earth is very young. The devil has all sorts of things to guide you and get you away from the real truth. Hallelujah. 6,000 years, and we are right now inside the 7,000 years. Hallelujah. Imagine being slaves for 6,000 years, and now you're free. You want to think what? Freedom. It's tough when you're in slavery for all these years and to have a mindset change. You can be in slavery so long that it becomes your life. It becomes your lifestyle. That's why people live lifestyles of slavery outside of the kingdom. You were a slave before, Bible says, but you're not. You are free now. You're free. You're in the kingdom. You have been released from the chains of bondage. Hallelujah. That is what Jesus delivers you, but the Holy Spirit comes after him and works on our mind. Jesus is the deliverer. It delivers you. It cross, Calvary, blood, that's Jesus. But then the teaching part and the mindset change part, the Holy Spirit comes. Oh, hallelujah. And he starts to teach and transforms our lives. Hallelujah. That is why Moses could not set the Israelites free. He just what? Delivered them out of Egypt. God prepared Joshua to teach the mindset of the people to live inside the kingdom. Hallelujah. The new kingdom that they moved into, that's Joshua. Moses was the deliverer. He just took him out, moved him out. And then he himself, poor Moses, I feel sorry for him. I'll have a cup of tea one day and say, Moses, what were you thinking? Mo, what were you thinking? Striking that rock. Didn't you know this disobedience is one of the greatest enemies of God? Hallelujah. It's tough to change the mind of a person who has been oppressed for 6,000 years, my friends. The Holy Spirit is here to retrain you to think like your original self. What was your original self? Adam. He was walking in this righteousness, the peace, the joy in the Holy Ghost. That was the only part of the Bible that sin wasn't there. The best part of Adam's life was before he took that fruit from Eve. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to renew you back to. Hallelujah. It's time for a mindset change, my friends. Transform your mind this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul says, do not what? Conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. In other words, Paul is saying, you and I were born in sin, conceived in sin, shaped by iniquity. But he says, now it's time to what? Transform your mind, but the renewing of your mind. Yeah. Through what? Through the Holy Spirit. He is the one. Hallelujah. His concepts, that's why you and I can be born again and still think evil. Some of you are born again, but you still think evil. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not in you. If he's in you, then you won't be thinking evil. Then you won't be talking against your neighbor. No wonder Jesus said, love your neighbor. Walk in holiness. Be holy for I am holy. I love Jesus. His words are straight. Why? Because he knows you can do it with the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Do not commit adultery. He said, you have heard it said that if you look at the woman, you've already committed sin. He says, you have heard that do not commit adultery, but he says, I say, kingdom says, if you even look at somebody and say, that boy is fine, that girl is fine, you already sin. I love Jesus. That's a kingdom mindset, my friends. That is the mindset I'm talking about this morning. We are not mentally changed when we are spiritually regenerated. We have to be taught to be transformed again by the Holy Spirit. Adam was a ruler. God wants to restore you back to be a dominator, a ruler, to lead, to manage. Re means to go back to the original position that Adam lost. Christ came to restore us to think like that. All the worship that we do, all this that we do, it's just a means and a way to get our relationship back. But when you carry the Holy Spirit inside of you, it's just easy to talk to God normally. I just talk to him now because I am on a platform where I call him Abba Father. I'm not fearful of God anymore because when you call God, you haven't actually realized the kingdom yet. But when you say Abba Father, you're now a son and a daughter. You don't have to beg and and cry for things. Just ask him. Talk to him. Hallelujah. That's prayer. The Holy Ghost's job is to make you stop being afraid of God and start calling him Abba. Just like what I said. He is the Abba Father. He is your source. You will continue to be a Christian until God becomes your Abba, and then you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. The moment you become a citizen, you can start calling him Abba. So important for us to understand. You have to come to a point in your life that when you finally realize that while you're standing in the shower room shaving, go, yeah, me and God are one. Me and the Father are one. Having a shower, me and the Father are one. You know, God speaks to me in showers and toilets. Amen. I don't mean that in a funny way. That's really true. He just wants to get you in a quiet place. Where's the quiet place in the house? That's why they call it the restroom. Then he can start to talk to you. Because when you have kids, it's so hard. You know, but dad, I want this, dad. But when you're in the toilet, it's like your own little throne room. You go, speak. I'm listening now. Hallelujah. That's so true. God speaks to me in showers and toilets. And he will continue to, you know, I prepared the message as I was shaving, he was talking to me. I'm like, wow, really? Yeah, wow, I need to go and write this down. And so you might notice I've got things written all over it after it was typed really nicely. The word source only means you have a supply. It means you have consistency. It means you have the same stuff that your source has. You have the same thing that the Father has. Amen. That's why he's giving it back to you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's job is to get you to a place where you start to think like that. God doesn't want you to wait till you get to heaven to start acting like heaven. You act like heaven right here. You act like the kingdom right here. You practice kingdom right here. You walk in kingdom principles right here. Heaven doesn't have any sin. God doesn't need you there. He needs you here. Who are you going to go and preach in heaven? You are here to change and influence people. Heaven is a time and a place, hallelujah. When you stop breathing, then you go to heaven because your spirit can live here. This place is for people that carry a vessel and a spirit inside. When you're alive, you're illegal on planet Earth. If you die, you're illegal. Go back to heaven and wait. That's why your spirit, when you die, your mother doesn't come back to, oh, I just saw my auntie yesterday. That's a familiar spirit. Don't believe in those ghosts and black magic. Oh, my auntie died yesterday, but I spoke to her tonight. You just spoke to the devil. Are you listening? I know you probably this is so full of superstitions. Before you came to God, you couldn't walk to a cemetery. You can whistle at night. You can't. My mom says, don't whistle, the food will finish. So don't believe what all this rubbish that you've been hearing. Oh, I saw my mom. You indigenous people of this land to understand. You're spiritual people. Don't listen to your uncle. Oh, I just saw him yesterday at the pub. He died 10 years ago. Hallelujah. My mentality is the result of a lot of mindset change by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me in this book. I have been retrained. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad I've been retrained. I was born into a religion, got saved in a denomination, have been retrained and reformed by the kingdom of God. Yeah. I was born into religion. I hated that. I was dragged into religion and do all this stuff. And then I got saved in a denomination. I'm glad I'm out of that too. I'm in the kingdom of God now. And in the kingdom, we talk kingdom things. We do kingdom things. Hallelujah. So I don't preach nobody's doctrines but the kingdom of God. I was taught and trained to think in a certain way. But thank God that somebody preached the kingdom to me, transformed my life forever. Amen. And the book tells me that. Hallelujah. The book tells you when you see poverty, the book tells you you are rich. You live in abundance. Amen. When you see sickness, the book tells you by his stripes you are healed. Hallelujah. The cross has been done. The blood has been done. Hallelujah. When you see oppression, this book tells you, you are a what? Overcomer. Hallelujah. This book tells you that. Totally contrary to what you've been taught. And, hallelujah. The kingdom life is different. As long as God is your God, then you will always be afraid of him. But if he also becomes your Abba Father, then there is love. There is representation of your Abba Father. Hallelujah. Treat your God like your Abba Father. Talk to God like your Abba Father. That's all he wants from you. You're not in religion anymore. You're not in denominations anymore. You're inside the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus came to restore that rulership of that kingdom through us. Last week I went to PNG and that thing happened to me. And I thought, wow, this is too much to comprehend. It took me a while to just sit down quietly and receive all that stuff. And I thought, my goodness, this is too much, but I need to actually receive this. God is retaining the kingdom of heaven to these earthly kings, which is you and I. Some of you think that the kingdom of God was preached by Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No. Let me show you where the kingdom of God began in Genesis. But it's also King David understood kingdom. He preached it. In Psalm 103, verse 19, he says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." That's heaven and earth. His kingdom rules. Psalm 145, verse 13. "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations." Every generation comes and goes, your kingdom endures through them. David had a concept of the kingdom of God, not a religious order or a religious church. He had a concept of a kingdom. Hallelujah. And Daniel, would you believe, had a revelation of the kingdom. Remember the story of Daniel? Daniel was a permanent secretary of the kingdom of King Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 31 to 35, you remember the story? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream or a vision of this great statue that had the different empires of the world in it with clay and iron feet, which what we have today called the European Union. Daniel saw European Union. Amazing. That's how far back Daniel saw it. Daniel saw this way back. He saw Europe and the coming together of a great empire. The king says, this is King Nebuchadnezzar now. He sees a vision and he says, "I saw a stone come out of heaven, out of nowhere, and a big stone, and it hit the statue and it smashed it and it fell. And when it was made into dust," it turned into powder. Hallelujah. "It smashed it and it became dust." This is what Daniel of the King Nebuchadnezzar saw. And Daniel began to interpret the rock. He said, "That rock," he says, "was the kingdom of God coming out of heaven and hitting the kingdoms of the earth, turning them into powder and dust, and it began to grow." Have you ever seen a rock grow? He's talking about the kingdom that grows. He's talking about the kingdom that never ends. That kingdom that will never be defeated. Hallelujah. Christ says of what? "Upon this rock I will build my church, and no gates of hell will not prevail." The hell has gates. Kingdom of heaven doesn't have gates. Hell is afraid of you, my friends. The world is afraid of you. And yet we're sitting here afraid of the world. And Daniel says, "I saw a rock come out of heaven and smash all these empires and smash all these things into dust." And then he says, and the rock started to grow. The kingdom has no gates. Gates are used in those days to protect you from the outside enemy. So hell is one of those who have gates. Kingdom doesn't have gates. We seem to be afraid of the world, and the world is afraid of us. We seem to be afraid of the world more than what the world is afraid of us. We have been given one of the most amazing, powerful spirit called the Holy Spirit. We have been given the keys of the authority of the kingdom of God. Yet we are fearful of the world. We're supposed to be growing, not shrinking. We're supposed to be advancing, taking over territory, over community. We are supposed to be growing like the rock, yet we seem to be the ones hiding from the world, hoping to fly away to heaven. Ah, fly away, oh glory, ah. Stop singing that song. You're a kingdom advancement person. Sing that. Religion, sing that song. You're a kingdom person. You're here to dominate. You're here to influence. You're here to have a mindset change. Hallelujah. How dare we call ourselves church and we don't even get up and do things the way that God wants us to do. We create denominations and we fuss and fight over little theologies and doctrines and all these things, and the hell is world is going to hell. And God says, I gave you the kingdom. I gave you a book to live your life by. Don't go and try and interpret it to me. Live it. Amen. It's literal. What it says, it says. Do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Daniel says, I saw a rock coming out of heaven. And he said, Nebuchadnezzar, that the rock you saw, it is the kingdom of God, and nothing can stop its advancement. Hallelujah. Please turn to Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom, Daniel says, and that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break into pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall what? Stand forever. That's the kingdom of God that Daniel saw. Amen. That's the kingdom of God that you and I are living inside of now. He says that kingdom will stand forever. It shall not be destroyed. The enemy tried to destroy the kingdom. How many Christians have they persecuted? How many churches have they persecuted? The kingdom still advanced. Hallelujah. Amen. Daniel saw that and says, that kingdom, it's not going to stop. It's going to advance. Amen. Hallelujah. Say somebody. Say amen, somebody. Say amen to somebody. Hallelujah. It's a powerful concept. Tell your neighbor, I'm part of that kingdom. I'm part of that government. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this, my friends. You may work for the government. You may work for somebody. I said that yesterday or last week, that all this is unpredictable. It can stop tomorrow. But the kingdom you serve in right now advances forever. Amen. You can tap into the kingdom anytime you want. Amen. Hallelujah. You can have elections and change leaders and put this prime minister there and put this prime minister over there and change governments, but the kingdom of God still advances. Because you can't change your king. Your king is king and is king and king. Amen. Hallelujah. King of all kings. Amen. Daniel chapter 7 verse 9. And Daniel says, as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Hallelujah. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair on his head was white like a wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Oh, hallelujah. Thousands upon thousands attended to him. Ten times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. Hallelujah. Verse 11, then I continued to watch because of the boastful words and the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast, hallelujah, was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. And the other beast had been stripped of their authority. But then he says, but they were allowed to live for a period of time. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this vision was written before Calvary. It was written before the cross. It was written before Jesus came. Daniel saw all that. This was written before Calvary. Daniel's vision was written before Calvary. Daniel saw the battle between the darkness and the light. He said, I saw the beast destroyed, and the beast, plural, was stripped, hallelujah, from the authorities. Satan was destroyed on Calvary, my friends. His power was taken, but the Bible says the beast, his cohorts, were allowed to live. Why? Because you need some training, my friends. Satan was destroyed in Calvary, but his power was taken. But the Bible says that his cohorts, or the beast, were allowed to remain. That's why he's still around today. Why? Because you need some training. You can't live in the kingdom of God without some little bit of test.
Amen, amen.
You can't live in the kingdom of God without, your faith doesn't build because kingdom is nice. You're living on planet Earth, operating inside a kingdom. There's still those cohorts still running around. The devil is your greatest trainer. Did you know that? He trains you to become strong. He trains you to be strong and successful. By what? By living like a kingdom person. if the devil was taken away, your life would be too simple and too straightforward. You wouldn't be able to grow in your faith. God allowed these things to be there so that you and I, our faith can be tested, and then it grows.
Amen.
You don't grow in good times. You grow when crisis comes. You grow when things are not working right in your life. You grow when you have a problem. You don't grow when everything is okay and you want to fly away to heaven. You don't grow. Your faith doesn't work until you meet some crisis, and then your faith starts to build. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, but the strong man cannot take over a strong man's house unless he binds the strong man. So Christ has done what? He has come into the world. He's died on the cross. He has bound the strong man, but he has allowed him to be around. Why did God allow him to be around? So that you, my friends, the kingdom people, can have some training ground to work on. There's a few demons to be cast out and some sickness to be healed and the power of God still wants to work inside the kingdom of God. They're still here. He doesn't know that he's your greatest trainer. He thinks he's your greatest enemy. Those who say that he's training you really well are the ones that think kingdom. Those who are fearful of him and say, oh, I need to get out of here. Life is really hard. Then you can't be trained. You don't grow in good times. You grow when there is crisis. Hallelujah. God allowed them to be around for you, for your own good, so that you can grow in faith, so that you can walk by faith. James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4 says what? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Good Christians don't do that to you. The devil does that to you. They test your faith. Bring crisis into your doorstep. Hallelujah. The devil can never beat you. He can only train you by causing you to be strong in trials and tribulations. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has ever overtaken you except what is common to mankind. This is God's promise to you. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. The word is endure it. Hallelujah. Kingdom of God suffers violence and violent men take it all. Hallelujah. Verse 13, in my vision at night, I looked and there before me was like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given the authority, glory, and sovereign power. That's talking about Jesus taking the keys and giving it back to you. Daniel saw that. Some of us look at it and go, oh, that's an end-time prophecy. It's not. It's end times now. We are living in the end times. And he saw that. He's given you the authority that we talked about. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power over what? All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed, my friends. You are in a kingdom that will never be destroyed. No matter what they throw at you, no matter what, this kingdom advance. Hallelujah. Read the end of the book. You won. End of the book tells you that you are a victorious person sitting here today.
Amen.
Jesus, I have overcome. Why are you so worried about everything?
Amen.
Hallelujah. My friends, we can talk about revival, but let me tell you, revival starts inside your heart. What I said today is the revival doesn't wait for nobody. You don't wait for anybody to pick it up. You already got it. You start the fire inside your heart. God says, where is the house that I want? Where is the house that I built? I want the house. I want to come and dwell inside this house. He's not talking about a building. He's talking about you, my friends, sitting here today. Hearts that are transparent, hearts that are righteous, hearts that are walking in holiness, hearts that are ready for the Holy Spirit to come and live and dwell inside. He's right there, right now. If you have not received the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you today. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. It's easy. Jesus just said, receive. By faith, he prayed and prayed over his disciples. before he went. Gave him the power. And then the power is the one that's living inside of you today. Hallelujah. My friends, revival is inside your heart. Doesn't have to wait for it to happen. It's already there. There's a revival happening inside my heart. You may not pick it. You may not see it. The enemy won't see it, but it's happening. And that should be the same in your life. And imagine all of you sitting here catching that revival fire inside your heart. That church will be transformed. Your communities will be transformed. Your schools will be transformed. Your job will be transformed. You just walk in there and they just see you. Hallelujah. Can I have a music team up, please? Can we all stand? I'm going to pray. Whatever we released upon the children this morning, we're going to release upon you. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes and lift your hands up today. Lift your hands up to God. If you have to talk to Him this morning. Before we close, we want to do this. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let's just sing as we wait. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Shibrakaba. You be better. Whatever it is, oh God, that you've placed in my heart, whatever it is that you've shown me, that mantle that you've placed upon me, Father, God, I just release that right now. I release that, oh God, upon those that are here, those that are standing up today, raising their hands, oh God. Father, I pray, God, I release that anointing upon their lives. Holy Spirit, I pray, come upon them today, ignite that fire inside of their heart today, that revival fire is inside their heart today. I thank you, God, that the enemy will not predict it, oh God. The enemy will not predict it, oh God. That it's going to be hidden from the enemy until it is too late, until he's able to not recognize it anymore, oh God. Father, I thank you, God. I release that upon every man, every woman, all that is standing up, raising their hands today, oh God. I release that right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you that the enemy will not predict anything that you have already placed inside their hearts. The revival fire that's going to come. These are the people that are standing. They're crying out to you today. That Lord, this is the vessel that they want. This is the vessel. Come and live inside of us. Come and transform our mindset. Come and live inside of us. Let your presence be felt, oh God. Let it be felt. Father, I release that right now. By the power of the Holy Spirit, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that our hearts are zealous for you, Lord. Our hearts are crying out for you. Our hearts are ready, oh God, for you to be used. We are ready to be used by you, Father. We are ready to be used by you, God. We are ready to be used by you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we repent, oh God, for anything that we may have done or said or do, oh God, that is not of you, Father. We ask you to forgive us today. We repent from our sins, from our shortcomings. And Lord, we repent for everything that we may have said or done. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, for your forgiveness. We ask you for that fire, oh God. Fire, oh God. That fire in the hearts, oh God. The enemy won't have to be able to understand. The enemy won't understand. The enemy won't know until it hit him. The enemy won't know until it's too late. Then he will realize that it is the fire, oh God, that you've placed inside your people's heart. Father, I thank you, Lord, for transformation of hearts, oh God. I thank you, God. Oh, Shibra Kapa Kepa Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, riba ba 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 shiba. Shebra ka shebebe kebe shiba ba ba. Oh, shibra ba ba. Let your fire come down, O God. Let there be transformation, O God, inside the hearts of your people today, God. Thank you for the new song. Thank you for the new sound that's going to come, oh God. Thank you for that new sound that's going to come. Thank you for songs that are going to be birthed, oh God, inside, oh God, the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Oh, shibra kebe kebe shiba baba. Libra kebe shiba baba baba. Lebra kashita kaba baba. Lebra baba shiba baba baba. Lebra bebe shiba baba baba. Father, thank you, Lord. The enemy won't be able to predict what you're doing. He will not be able to touch your people. Your kingdom of God will advance. Your kingdom of God will advance. It is already advancing, oh God, even before the enemy knows. It is inside your people's hearts, oh God. Oh, Shibra Kaba Shiba. Lebra Keshiba Baba. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Shibra Kashiba Baba Baba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The enemy won't know, oh God. The enemy won't know. He won't know until it's too late. He won't know until it's too late. Hallelujah. Because the fire is inside the hearts of your people. Thank you, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for revival fire inside the hearts of your people. They don't have to go looking for it anywhere. It's inside their hearts, oh God. You said, where is the house? Where is the house that I will come and dwell in? Where is the house that you have prepared for me? Where is the house? I am ready. The Lord says, I am ready. I am ready. I'm ready to come and dwell inside the house that you have prepared. He's not talking about a building, my friends. He's talking about you. He's talking about you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning. He's your God. He's your Abba Father. He's your Abba Father. He's not just your God. He's your Abba Father. Jesus gave you the platform to stand and call him your Abba Father. Hallelujah. He is your Father. You speak to him like you are the heritage of the kingdom of God. He's already given you that platform to stand. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Shibra Kaba Shiba Kaba Baba Baba. Reprekete Kebe Shiba Baba Baba. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you for the hearts of your people. That your hearts, their hearts are pure. Their hearts are pure. They're wanting a pure heart. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will transform them. Clean, oh God, inside this vessel that you're about to leave and dwell inside, Father. I thank you, Father. We are ready. We are ready. We are ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Shibra kaba baba baba baba. Shibra kaba shibra kaba baba. Lebre kebe 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 shiba baba. Shibra baba 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 baba. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Shibra baba baba baba. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, this is your vessel.
Let the glory of the Lord. Let it rise upon us. Let the glory of the Lord rise upon us. Let the praises of the King rise upon us. Let it rise.
That's right, church. The glory of the Lord, let it rise among us.
Let the glory of the Lord.
Every voice is now. Let it rise.
Let the glory of the Lord.
Let's shout it out.
Let it rise. Praises of the King. Let it rise.
Let the glory of the Lord. Let it rise.
Let the glory of the Lord.
The hearts of
rise. Let the glory of the Lord
rise.
Let the praises of the Lord.
Let the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that your hearts are prepared, oh God. Thank you that they won't be able to predict, oh God. Thank you that the enemy won't be able to predict, oh God. Everything that you practice, oh God, for your people, oh God. I release them right now.
let's shout out together.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, God, for transformation. Transformation, oh God.
Let the glory of the Lord. Let the glory of the Lord.
Thank you for the hearts of your people. Thank you that their hearts are troubled and soft and ready to be made strong by your Holy Spirit. Thank you. Father, I thank you.
Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord.
Come on.
Rise among us.
Come on, church.
Let the glory of the Lord.
Praise Him this morning. Praise Him this morning.
Hallelujah.
Let's all shout it out together.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, Papa God, we bless thanking you. We bless thanking you. We thank you for your presence, oh God. Thank you for the lives of your people. Thank you for the transformation that is happening right now. There is a revival happening right now inside your heart. You won't be able to feel it until you start talking to somebody. Hallelujah. When you start to talk to somebody, there's something going to start bubbling inside of you. It's going to come. It's already inside of you. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait for it. It's here. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Thank you again that you have heard, oh God, your people's cries. Lord, we are here. We have our hearts open, ready to be transformed, ready to receive that revival fire that you promised us, oh God. And it is here. The enemy won't be able to predict this. This is powerful. Father, I give you praise, give you honor and glory. Bring your people, Lord, under your presence. Lord, as they depart from here, Father, you stay with them. Lord, let your presence go with them. They carry that fire inside of their hearts today. Let it not be the same week that they faced last week. Let it be a totally different week for them today. Father, you show them by the miracles that are going to happen, Lord, before their eyes, the dreams that you're going to give them, the visions that you're going to give them, Father. Thank you, Lord. Refining fire, the refreshing fire inside the hearts of your people. We give you praise and we give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.